This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The Action Network Podcast, named Best Betting Podcast or Radio Show by the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association, and the number one show for the invested sports fan.
All right, here we go.
From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch. They're saying it's a catch. Touchdown.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money.
All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another NFL Fantasy Flex episode of the award-winning Action Network podcast presented by BetMGM, the official odds provider of the show. I'm Matthew Friedman, the editor-in-chief of Fantasy Labs, and here with me are Sean Corner and Chris Raybon. Sean is the Action Network Director of Predictive Analytics, and Chris is a senior editor and analyst at the Action Network. They are two of the best fantasy football rankers in the world. It is the divisional round. We have four games this weekend. And in this episode, we are highlighting the players at the top of our rankings in the fantasy tool at Action Network. We're discussing the guys who are high and low on and looking at how they do in our Fantasy Labs models. And we are speculating on some player props. Okay, so let's get into it. At the top of our quarterback rankings, we have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. I don't think much of a surprise there. Raybon, I want to kick it to you. I'm assuming you actually have your projections done, although who knows? Maybe not. Maybe I catch you by surprise. Who is someone that you are high on this week at the quarterback position?
Yeah, Matt, I definitely did projections because last week I don't know if the two are related, but I knew nothing about football last week, betting or fantasy wise. So decided
it was bad. You weren't the only one who didn't perform well. I had my worst sports betting week of my existence and maybe in all of existence. So, hopefully we rebound this week.
Yeah. It was rough. So get back to it. Hopefully the first snap doesn't go over our head, the proverbial first snap since I'm up first here. But I like Josh Allen this week. And I think, anytime you look at, the group of quarterbacks in a given week, the first thing you kind of do is you look at and say, okay, who has the potential to add points on the ground and who doesn't? And for this slate, you have Mahomes, Allen, and Jackson, and then you have Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers, and Mayfield, and Goff, and so there's a clear cutoff. And to me, I have Allen ranked as a number two quarterback on DraftKings. He's the third highest priced. He's coming up with the highest projected plus minus in our model. So Josh Allen for me, even in a tough matchup against Baltimore.
Yeah, I have Josh Allen projected number one, just kind of in the first go around of projections. I'm not sure how I actually feel about that because I just look at Mahomes and the matchup that he has. So I feel like the delta between quality of quarterback and quality of defense is the greatest for Mahomes this week. At home, coming off the bye, highest total on the slate. And I probably need to adjust his rushing share a little bit because he tends to run a little bit more in the playoffs than he does during the regular season. And, maybe that's kind of anecdotal, smaller sample size, but I feel like there's, you could sort of rationalize it by saying like, okay, like these are the games that matter. Like he's not going to run as much in the regular season and risk injury, but he will be a little more willing to take off and run during the playoffs. So, out of the eight remaining defenses, the Browns, I don't have much respect for them relative to the other units that we have here. So given Mahomes and his rushing ability and, of course, the receiving ability, Andy Reid coming off of the bye, I'm pretty in on Mahomes. But surprisingly, I don't have him projected as highly as I expected I would, given that Josh Allen is ahead of him. But I'm with you, Raybon, on Allen, and I also really like Mahomes this week. Sean, who are you on?
Yeah, I'm with you guys on that top three. It's a pretty clear,
high-end tier this week. So you really can't go wrong with Mahomes, Jackson, or Allen when it comes to ceiling. But since, you know, it's a four-game slate, I do want to get somewhat contrarian here. And I think Baker Mayfield does warrant some consideration at 5,300. He's just way too cheap. He was on fire a few weeks ago. You know, weeks 12 through 15, he was QB3. Then there was the hot tub party where he ended up missing four receivers. He had multiple games this year where there was just high wins. Nobody could really throw on that. So I think when Baker has had, you know, everything line up, he's shown that he has a pretty high ceiling. So this week should get Kevin Stefanski back. This could be a game script where he's forced to throw. So if you think this is going to be a shootout, you can use Baker Mayfield and you can run it back with a couple Chiefs as well. So I think Baker, while he doesn't have nearly as high a ceiling as the top three, a slate like this, he does offer some contrarian upside.
Sean, who is a quarterback you are low on this week?
I'm low on Aaron Rodgers just because that top tier, like we mentioned, is so good that Rodgers, he's priced, you know, in the middle at 6,900. But this matchup, we saw last week how good this Rams defense is. We'll have to wait and see on Aaron Donald's status. If you know, it turns out he's shaky for this week, I might change my mind. But, you know, Jalen Ramsey potentially locking down Devontae Adams, if that's even possible, you know, that's just going to lower Rodgers' floor and ceiling here. So I think if there was a week to fade Aaron Rodgers, it'd be here.
Raymond, who are you low on?
I'm low on the Rams quarterbacks, which Jared Goff, you know, wasn't playing with much confidence last week. And I think if you're going to be low on Aaron Rodgers, which I think is fair, you also have to kind of look at how that game script could potentially go. You know, most of the year, Aaron Rodgers has just been lighting it up, and that causes, you know, Green Bay to get into some shootouts. But I think this game script will be completely different. The total is just 46. So not only, you know, a lower expectation for Rodgers going against that Ram defense, but, you know, Goff in that offense on the other side as well.
Okay, one guy I'm relatively low on is Tom Brady. You know, playing in New Orleans, Brady's been great since week 10. And of course, last week he had 381 yards. You know, until the Steelers game, it looked like Brady was going to be the guy who actually led the weekend in passing. Didn't work out. But, you know, his recent run came right after his week 9 stinker against the Saints, in which the Bucs were just totally blown out 38-3. Brady had just 209 yards, three interceptions in that game. This is the third divisional game between the opponents. And so, you know, they know each other well. And the Saints are pretty good in pass defense. So I think it's just a situation where, as good as Brady has looked recently, I'm still going to want to be off of him in this matchup. Sean, we have reached the part in the show where you give us the quarterback prop, and everyone should be sure to check out the Fantasy Labs player prop tool. With props with a bet quality of 10 have a 60% win rate over the past two seasons. When player props are posted, you can bet them at BetMGM. Sean, give us the player prop.
We are going to stick with Lamar Jackson's rushing yards this week. Last week, I remember I felt like I was way too high at 83.5. You guys thought as well. And then he just went off for, I think it was 136 yards. So he is very, very tricky to project right now. I'm bumping his rushing yards up to 89.5. Where are you guys? And what do you think of this matchup? I think the Bills could struggle to contain Lamar. So I think his ceiling is just super high in this market.
I mean, I haven't projected well to the under, but I mean, there's no way that I can actually bet that, right? You know, like I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's something wrong with my numbers and I need to go in and somehow fix them. And moron that I am, I don't know how to do that. I will take the under, but I don't have any confidence in it.
The best thing you could do is click on the cell in Excel and click the numbers to be higher. That's what I do. But I'm in the same boat. Like, mathematically speaking, you're absolutely right. It's hard to project him too high, but just if you look at his recent performance,
I know,
and just watch him, it's just really hard to keep his projection low.
Yeah. You can also go the route of a manual override column to the right of the official column. And then you, in the real cell, you have a, if that column is blank, you use the original, but if the override is in, you use that one. So there are many ways, Friedman, but I have to go under too. Listen, Lamar, he got what? I think it was 48 of those yards last week on one amazing play that essentially turned around the whole game. And that could very well happen again. But if we're talking medians, I still think 89 is a bit high. There's also the possibility that, you know, Baltimore comes out in a little bit of more of a positive game script this time around. You know, Tennessee's always been a bugaboo, and we saw it for them even last week. You know, they got down to Tennessee. So if they're up, he may not run quite as much. So I'll still go under. It doesn't feel good, but I still think the median's a little lower than 89.5.
If you say so.
I got it. But no, it's not a high confidence level. It's a one star.
Right, right. Same on my end. That's what I'm saying. Just a wide, wide range of outcomes.
This, just thinking about Lamar's rushing prop, like, hurts my stomach. So, like, the first 10 games that he played, weeks 1 through 11, his average was 57.5 yards rushing. And then the COVID thing hit. He comes back in week 13. And so for the final five games of the season, he's basically back to his 2019 Lamar Jackson form, where his average at that point in the final five games was 86 yards. And then, of course, we saw what he did last week with 136 yards. Like, it just, it feels like since he came back, he's just been playing at a different level, where he's much more willing to take off and run. In the middle of the season, he wasn't running at nearly the same rate. So I do feel that I need to make those adjustments and significantly upgrade him. But I don't know, man. Like, he's running for like 7.7 yards per carry. And like, that's what he's done over the past, or to close the season in his final five games. And then last week, 8.5 yards per carry. Like, that just feels unsustainable. But at the same time, like, he's Lamar Jackson. Who's going to stop him from running for more than 7 yards per carry?
Right. You said he's reverting to 2019 Lamar. I think he's reverting to 2018 Lamar.
Wow.
I mean, last year you had to project him for 230 yards passing and a ton of rushing yards. Whereas now he's just kind of abandoning too much in the way of passing yards. I mean, he's only thrown for over 185 yards once in the past, you know, couple months here. So he's really just, you know, pushing his foot on the gas when it comes to his rushing here and kind of dominating that way. So that's why I think he's more 2018 Lamar, if anything.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's not as if he's running so much more than he did in the first half of the season, but I mean, he did take off 16 times last week. So, I mean, he is rounding into running form.
Hope you're enjoying this great Action Network podcast. I want to make sure you know about the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On has a daily podcast on your favorite team.
Welcome to you, Locked On 49ers.
You are locked on to the Dallas Mavericks.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Let's go! Locked On podcasts are hosted by the local experts who know your team better than anyone and give you the inside scoop. So go to your podcast app and search Locked On, your favorite team. Subscribe to your Locked On podcast.
Okay, let's talk about the running backs at the top of our rankings. Of course, now with Derrick Henry no longer in the playoffs, at the top we have Alvin Kamara, and then Cam Akers. Yes, my guy. And then Nick Chubb coming in at number three. Raybon, who are you relatively – you know what? I'm going to kick it to Sean first. Sean, who are you relatively high on this week at the running back position?
I'm high on Devin Singletary, mostly because of his price and the situation. He's 4,500 this week at home against Baltimore. You know, Zach Moss is expected to miss the rest of the playoffs, so that should boost Singletary's usage way up. What he does with that remains to be seen. But, you know, he's priced basically as if this was still going to be a 50-50 timeshare. One of the things going for Singletary is he's faced the second lowest percent in terms of eight men in the box at 4.5%. You know, this Ravens defense is going to be doing everything possible to stop Josh Allen. So it could leave for pretty good running room for Singletary. You know, he's probably only going to get 12 to 15 carries, but he's also going to see expanded usage in the passing game. And I think that's where the value really comes into play here. He ran a route on 68% of the routes last week, but you know, that could be closer to, you know, 70 to 80%. It remains to be seen how they're going to really work in. Is it TJ Yeldon and Taiwan Jones? Like, this could be Singletary's game where he's, you know, a true workhorse, but you know, he could be very highly owned. So he could be a potential pivot here, but I love him early in the week. And the other guy you mentioned, Cam Akers, I don't know how you could pass him up right now at this price. He's 5,700. They should lean on him a ton in this matchup against Green Bay. You know, Green Bay did bring in Damon Snacks Harrison, so that might shore up the run defense a little bit, but I don't think it matters here. I think Akers could see another 20 plus carries. And, you know, he saw a spike in routes run last week going up to 62%. So again, this is another workhorse back on a four game slate. That's pretty hard to pass up at his price.
Yeah, very much with you on Akers. In his final four games of the regular season, he had 340 yards rushing, 96 yards receiving on, you know, 23 and a half touches per game. And that was while playing with an injury in week 17, you know, last week, dominant against a good Seahawks run defense with 131 yards on the ground, a touchdown, 28 carries, and then added the 45 yards as a receiver. This Rams offense right now just flows entirely through him with the quarterback situation that they have. And the Packers are number six in most fantasy points allowed to running backs. So I think a great situation for him. I'm more pessimistic on Singletary, and, you know, maybe part of it is that I just need to adjust my projections more to account for, Moss being out. But I still think that Josh Allen ends up getting a pretty significant share of the carries. And then I think that they also rely a little bit more on the passing game than on the running game. So maybe I'm a little bit lower on Singletary, but also that Ravens defense, I mean, they're tough all over, but I mean, they shut down Derrick Henry last week. And, you know, it's not to put too much weight on like one game, but, you know, their defense, when they choose to stop the running game, they can be pretty good with it. And, you know, so that's not to say they're going to focus on shutting down the running game, but I don't know. It's a little bit, just a little bit harder for me to think that they're going to let Devin Singletary run all over them when Derrick Henry couldn't. But I don't know. Ravon, where are you on Singletary? And give us your thoughts on some guys you are high on.
Actually, I think Singletary is in a good spot. You know, this price is just so low that if he, you know, puts up normal starters numbers at 4,500,
his
be
price,
a sleep waker.
You're right. Yeah. His price is great.
And I mean, the thing about it is you kind of hit on it. You know, Baltimore was selling out to stop Derrick Henry. They had, you know, eight men in the box. You're going to play the opposite against Josh Allen, I think. You're going to have to, because, I mean, you have to have a guy on each sideline just to slow down Gabriel Davis at this point. And then you still have to worry about Diggs and all these guys. So, you know, it's a completely tougher matchup. I think he'll do fine. But I like Nick Chubb here. I think Nick Chubb is really interesting. You know, he ran 19 pass routes last week to Kareem Hunt's 10. So he kind of doubled him up in that facet. And I think against Kansas City, who's been one of the weaker run defenses in the league, you're going to try to play keep away. And then if you're still having Chubb run double the pass routes as Hunt, I think he's an interesting guy because, you know, he's probably not going to be very high owned considering you have Akers at 57 and Singletary at 45. So like Nick Chubb this week as well.
I'm wondering about the Kareem Hunt revenge game spot.
True. You
know. Ravon, who is someone that you are relatively low on?
I think Aaron Jones qualifies just because he's in this, that he's priced second highest. And, you know, I could see Green Bay, you know, not having as much offense as they usually do. And Jones has kind of been, he hasn't always been that like guaranteed lead back each and every week. We saw AJ Dillon come up with a big game. You still have Jamal Williams in there. So I'd rather pay up for Alvin Kamara or actually go with Nick Chubb in a better matchup than Aaron Jones.
Yeah. I definitely hear you there. I agree. I prefer Chubb to Aaron Jones. Sean, who are you low on?
Same reason as last week, but I'm low on J.K. Dobbins again here. He's 6K. You know, last week he rushed nine times for 43 yards, but once again, he salvaged with the touchdown. So, I mean, he wasn't worth his price last week, but especially, you know, this week, if he doesn't score, I don't think he's going to be worth 6K. He had one catch for minus 6 yards, which is pretty typical for him. I think his 2021 stock is through the roof. I mean, we talked about it, you know, right now, I don't think they're trying to preserve Lamar Jackson. So he's just running it more times than he would during the regular season. So, you know, that's going to take away from J.K. Dobbins. But starting next year, I mean, a lot of these carries are going to go Dobbins' way while they try to preserve Lamar Jackson's for the playoffs. So I think right now, this is just the time to fade Dobbins while I'm still super high on him for next season.
Yeah, I mean, thinking of Dobbins for 2021, there's a scenario in which Mark Ingram is gone and Gus Edwards is a restricted free agent. So the possibility that he might leave, he might stay too. But, you know, there's a scenario where it's J.K. Dobbins, you know, locked in as the lead back in the league's most run heavy offense, that which is also pretty darn good running the ball too. It's not that it's just volume. They're efficient running it. So that could be pretty exciting. Sean, give us the running back player prop.
Let's go with Devin Singletary. So his total rushing and receiving yards. Let's go. I got it at 80.5. And while you guys think about it, I agree, Freeman. You know, they did a good job shutting down Derrick Henry, but that was clearly their game plan.
Yeah.
I don't think their game plan is going to be anything shutting down Singletary. So I think they'll kind of invite runs to Singletary. What he does with those remains to be seen, but I don't think he's going to be a big part of their defensive game plan.
I'll take the under, but you know, knowing that you and Raybon are both on him, and he, at 4,500, he's great value. Yeah. But knowing that you guys are on him makes me a little less comfortable with it. I have this projected at, you said around 80.5. I have it projected around 73.5.
Got it.
I will take the, let me see, it's close. 80, 65. I will go under. I have it right around 80. But that's more of an average. So, I still think he can be worth his price. It's going to come down to a touchdown probably, but, he has been their main pass down back for much of the year anyway. So, you know, if he can catch a couple passes and or get in the end zone, I still think he pays off that price. But, yeah, I think right 80 is a good line.
Yeah, with Freeman, you know, I'm kind of with you there because he's probably not going to win a GPP. He's going to be so highly owned. So, yeah, if you feel like fading him, I think this is the time to do it. If we're relying on a touchdown here, he's not the guy that you want to be relying on a touchdown for. So, yeah, he's an interesting fade, even though all of our projections and models – We'll say he's a good play. He does have a low enough floor where if you want to fade him, this, you know, he would be the guy to be aggressive in fading because of his ownership being so high this week.
All right, let's talk about wide receivers. The guys at the top of our rankings are Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams. What a week for Davante Adams that he's going to have to go against Jalen Ramsey. I mean, ordinarily it would be, you know, easily Davante Adams number one, but in this spot ranked number three. Sean, who are you high on this week?
I'm high on Diggs just because what you said. I have Davante Adams just slightly by 0.1 below him right now. Adams is 1.3K more expensive. I don't love Diggs' matchup either. He's facing Baltimore, who have three great corners. It's really going to be hard to move him around to avoid a tough matchup. But you could say that with pretty much all receivers this week. Maybe Tyreek Hill probably has the best matchup, but we're not sure if he's 100% healthy quite yet. But this is a tough week for receivers, so I'm more than willing to just spend up on Diggs. He should be a lock for plenty of targets, so I'll have plenty of Diggs shares this week. But the one guy I do like that's a bit more under the radar is Rashad Higgins. He's 4,100 right now. Again, I mentioned that Baker Mayfield has some sneaky upside this week. I think Higgins is a sneaky stack partner if you're going to be even more contrarian and not go with Landry. Last week he ran around 86% of the time. He's a full-time player, consistently under the radar. And when Baker had that good stretch weeks 11 through 15, Higgins was the wide receiver 22 in half PPR. So he's one of those guys that a four-game slate, you're going to have to be somewhat contrarian. And he just seems like a no-brainer play at 4,100, which it is in a game which, the Browns could throw more. It could be a shootout. So I love having some Higgins exposure here.
Sean, you mentioned that this is a tough week really for all of the wide receivers. And it's true. If you just kind of look down the cornerbacks who are left in the playoffs. So obviously you have Davante Adams going against Jalen Ramsey. On the other side of that, you're going to have Robert Woods matching up against Jaire Alexander the most. And obviously Woods moves around the formation, so it's not as if he's going to face Alexander all the time, but that's the guy he's going to face the most. And Alexander, you know, second team All-Pro this year. I think arguably he should have been a first team All-Pro, but I mean, even if he's not, obviously in that elite tier of cornerbacks this year. And then you just go through all of the matchups. Baltimore obviously has great cornerbacks. Buffalo has Tre'Davious White, who is likely to be shadowing Hollywood Brown. For Cleveland, Denzel Ward might return. And he's not going to play in the slot, so it's not as if he's going to be shadowing Tyreek Hill. But you know, when Hill is on the outside, I think he will probably match up most with Ward. And Ward is one of the few cornerbacks who really does have the speed to at least maybe to hang with someone like Tyreek Hill as much as any cornerback can. Kansas City, with the defense that they play, they don't have like a marquee cornerback, but they are pretty good against wide receivers. And then in that final game, we have Tampa Bay going against New Orleans. And we have that great matchup of Mike Evans versus Marshawn Lattimore, where Lattimore is just in Evans' head at this point. That, like, that is a fantastic one-on-one matchup. And then on the other side, you have the Bucs, who have a great pass defense, going against Michael Thomas. You know, whether Thomas is lined up against Carlton Davis, who's pretty good against big-bodied wide receivers, or whether he's matched up against Jamel Dean, who's had a good season. Like, it's a tough matchup either way. So you just look at all of these wide receivers, and you can come up with pretty clear reasons not to be on someone. And so, yeah, within that context, I mean, Stephon Diggs is still standing out to me as someone I want to be pretty high on this week. For, you know, all the reasons that you mentioned, you know, tough matchup, of course, but he has such a high target share. And, you know, again, every wide receiver has a tough matchup, but Stephon Diggs has league high marks in the regular season and receptions and yards receiving. And then last week, 128 yards and a touchdown on 9 targets. He's just, I think, playing a cut above. So Diggs is someone I'm very high on this week. Raybon, who are you high on this week?
I still think Tyreek Hill is another guy we shouldn't, you know, forget about. And going against Cleveland, and yes, Denzel Ward has the speed to guard him, but, you know, as you mentioned, like, Ward is not going to move around as much. And, you know, Andy Reid had the week off to prepare. This Cleveland defense, clearly the worst of the past defenses remaining in the playoffs, I think. So I think Diggs could also have just a monster game. I mean, excuse me, Hill could have a monster game. So that's going to be interesting, the way ownership shapes up, because I think Diggs will get higher ownership just because he's cheaper. But, you know, with the ownership on Mahomes, we could see a lot of stacks kind of equalize it. So depending on the ownership is how I go. And another guy is on the other side is Jarvis Landry. You know, Landry, it has been really balling out for the last month and a half when he's been in there. And I expect this Cleveland team to be playing from behind. So like Landry to continue to put up big numbers.
Yeah, I'm with you on Hill. I do like the analysis there, because out of the number one, you know, kind of top tier wide receivers we have, he is the one who has the best matchup, because he does play in the slot so much. And then, you know, just going against a pass defense that isn't as good as the other ones anyway. I will definitely be keeping an eye on the practice reports for Hill during the week to, you know, just to see how available he is. Because if he's healthy, yeah. Absolutely with you, Raybon. I think at that point, he would be the number one receiver on the slate. Raybon, who are you low on?
So you kind of hit on it, but I mean, Davante Adams, I think, gets a little bit of a peg down. And then on the other side, I think the Robert Woods in particular, you know, the Green Bay, just their perimeter defense against wide receivers has been excellent. And Woods is going to play a little more on a perimeter than Cooper Kupp. So, you know, he gets carries, he gets kind of schemed the ball. So it's not always a complete dud for Woods, but I do think we should expect a little less this week.
Sean, I think you also are low on Woods.
Yeah, I'm low on Woods as well. You know, typically he's worth every penny, one of the most underrated receivers in DFS. But, you know, 5,900, you know, Jared Goff and his thumb, it does lower his floor quite a bit. So that's a concern. Freeman, you mentioned that he could face quite a bit of Jair Alexander coverage. So, you know, last week he caught 4 balls, 48 yards, and a touchdown. So if he's not able to salvage with a touchdown again, I like I said, his floor is a bit lower. You know, I think there's much better options with higher floor and ceiling in his price range. So I'll be fading Woods, which is rare, because like I said, he's usually worth every penny.
The one thing that would be interesting, we need to monitor Cooper Kupp, who has bursitis in his knee. And so if Kupp is out, they will use Woods as the primary slot receiver. So that will mean he doesn't have to face that tougher perimeter defense against wide receivers. So definitely something to keep an eye on as we progress into the weekend. A guy I'm relatively low on is Mike Evans. And I mean, I mentioned it before, like his matchup with Marshon Lattimore. Lattimore is one of the most like boom bust cornerbacks in the league. Like sometimes he looks like an all pro. And then the next game he's giving up like 120 yards to a backup wide receiver. But whenever he's facing Mike Evans, it just seems as if like he is totally in a locked in mindset. And Evans is still dealing with a knee issue. So Evans isn't 100%, you know, in week one, Evans had just 2 yards on 4 targets, against, Lattimore. In week 9 had 64 yards on 6 targets. Given the other options that they have in that offense and given that Lattimore almost certainly will be shadowing Mike Evans, I don't know how much they will feel the need to force targets in Evans' direction. So I could see, you know, a bigger game for Godwin, maybe bigger game for Antonio Brown, with Evans really just not being a key part in the passing attack. So I am relatively low on Evans this week. Sean, I saw you smiling over there. My fear is that you might be asking for the player prop, some sort of question on Mike Evans, but maybe I am wrong. Sean, give us the player prop.
I am going with the matchup of the week here, Devontae Adams versus Jalen Ramsey. So let's go with Devontae Adams receiving yards. I have it set at 89.5.
I will take the under. I have it projected at 88.5.
Ooh, nice.
So strong under.
Yeah, I have it at 86, so going under as well. You know, Adams can affect the game without you putting up a huge total. We've seen, you know, he can still score a touchdown or even two, but I don't expect him to have a huge yardage there.
Yeah, I mean, 88 and a touchdown, you know, like that's still a great day for a typical wide receiver. For Adams, it would seem like a total disappointment. And honestly, like for Ramsey, like if he holds him to 88 yards or something like that, like, I mean, I don't know if I'd say that was a success, but it's like Devontae didn't beat them, you know, if Devontae Adams has only 88 yards and a touchdown. So that might be kind of the way to approach it if you're the Rams. Let's talk about the tight ends at the top of our rankings. I don't think any surprise that Travis Kelce is number one. Mark Andrews is number two. And then there's a massive gulf between those two guys and everyone else. Rob Gronkowski, we technically have number three, but I mean, there are other guys who are all kind of within a point of Gronkowski's mark as the third guy that we have in the projections. Sean, who are you high on this week?
Well, obviously I'm high on Kelce and Andrews, but if you know you're going to go cheap at tight end, I think Austin Hooper offers some sneaky value at 3,800. Again, this is a matchup at KC where you know the Browns could be forced to throw a lot more, and Hooper's heating up. Last week he saw 11 targets. He ran a route on 79% of Baker's dropbacks, and we know KC can, you know, they're prone to allow stuff underneath. So I think Hooper could find those soft spots, and he could have, you know, a pretty big receiving day. You know, he does lack the touchdown upside as, you know, like an Andrews or Kelce, but again, this is one of those times where a 4-game slate, you're going to have to be contrarian somewhere. And I think these sneaky Brown snacks are one of the ways that I'm going to be attacking this slate. So love Hooper at 3,800.
Yeah, I'm just going to be highly unoriginal and say that I'm high on Travis Kelce. However high a normal person should be, I'll just say I'm even higher than that because he's Travis Kelce and he's going against the Browns, who allow the fourth most fantasy points in the league to tight ends. You kind of look at DVOA, they're not that good there against tight ends. So it's just, you know, Kelce is an all-world player. And he has a good matchup on top of it. And, you know, he should be very fresh coming off of the bye. So I'm going to find a way to prioritize Kelce, certainly in cash games. Ravon, who are you high on?
So, you know, you guys mentioned the top overall ceiling player in Kelce and the top value in Austin Hooper. So I'll just go with the guy that kind of fits into a little of both, and that is Mark Andrews. When you watch Buffalo last week play defense, I think one thing that stood out was that their real issue came against covering tight ends. That was kind of the weakness. And, you know, they could obviously scheme this up a little bit differently this week with Andrews being such a big part of Baltimore's passing game, but you still have to worry about Lamar running. So, you know, I think that you will see some weaknesses. And you had last week, you had Jack Doyle catch 7 of 9 targets. You had Trey Burton catch 3 of 3. And then you had Mo Alie-Cox catch 4 of 4. So that's, you know, 14 of 16 to the tight end. I think this could be a big game for Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I was on Andrews and his over prop last week and did not work out. I'm hoping it works out this week. Raybon, give us a player that you are low on.
So I think just kind of by default, Robert Tonyan for the Packers. Again, I think this is one of the few downgrades for their offense. And, you know, Tonyan is a guy that, you know, when Aaron Rodgers is throwing 48 touchdowns in a season, he's going to catch some of those and he's going to be a part of those big games. But I think this is a much more kind of league average game for Aaron Rodgers, which is still better than most against the Rams offense defense. But yeah, I don't think it's a big game. So not looking for much from Tonyan.
Sean, I believe that you are also, Raybon just snaked you there. I believe snaked. You also are
low. Selection.
Also low on Tonyan this week. Raybon hit on it. You know, he scored his touchdown 6 of his last 7 games. And I keep emphasizing that, you know, touchdowns are pretty fickle. So you don't want to be relying on a touchdown. You know, his odds to score a touchdown at most sports books this week will be, you know, -160 on no. So you're taking your chances here by fading a guy that's unlikely to score a touchdown. You know, he hasn't seen more than 3 targets since week 14. So it just goes to show that, you know, he does rely on these touchdowns. Now, there's a chance Ramsey could shut down Adams and Rodgers pivots to a guy like Tonyan. But I think Rodgers is just going to force the issue. I think he's still going to target Adams. And I think, you know, Tonyan's going to see just, you know, maybe 2 to 4 targets. So at 4,200 on this slate, I think you got to pass on it. You either have to spend up or spend down. Tonyan's just in a very tricky price range this week.
Okay. I am looking to stay away from Rob Gronkowski. He's in a big tier with everyone who's underneath Kelsey and Mark Andrews. I don't think there's anything that really differentiates him. But he had just 1 target last week, and the Saints are number 2 in pass DVOA against tight ends. So a tougher matchup, and perhaps he's trending in the wrong direction in terms of his usage. So it just seems like an easy player to stay away from. Sean, you promised that this tight end prop was going to be something that was a little bit creative given to us.
All right, so here we go. What will be greater this week? The number of times Chad backs Friedman's bet on Convince Me this weekend, so that's out of 6 total bets, or David Njoku receptions against the Chiefs?
I eat gluten.
Ooh. Wow. You're giving us 2 things that we really need to think hard about here.
Yes. So think.
Let's see. Matthew Friedman's average hitting percentage is about 0, that which means Chad will bet back all 6.
So, I mean, here's the thing. Chad, on the Sunday show, he backed me twice, and both of those lost. So I think there's less than a 1 out of 3 chance.
So let's work backwards. What do you guys have projected for Njoku's receptions this
1.4.
Okay. What would you project Friedman's over-under for Convince Me?
I'd have to go with 2 just because I don't think Chad is purposely trying to back anyone more than the other. So yeah, I'll go Friedman.
I don't know how to manage anybody.
Okay. I'm going Friedman as well, but it has more to do with massive Njoku fade than any confidence that I have in my ability to convince Chad that he should bet on anything I recommend.
Well, I think Njoku has some sneaky 3 to 4 catch upside this week, so maybe I'm higher on him than you guys. But yeah, I think both the projection is right around 2, but Njoku has probably a wider range of outcomes But I thought this would be a
that's,
fun one.
That's certainly true. I think Njoku does have the wider range of outcomes.
Right. You're going to be either one or two this weekend. I think we all are. Like, our projection's 1.5 to 2, but I think you're pretty much going to have one or two. So it's going to mostly come down to Njoku this week. But
I would, I think the line for me is 1.5, but with a strong lean to the under. That's how I would bet it.
Okay. All right, so you guys are booked on Freeman over, right?
Yep.
All right.
The Freedman over. This is not going to end well for anyone.
Melvin has pulled off one of the biggest upsets in history.
All right, that is going to do it for the show. You can follow Sean, Chris, and me in the Action Network app at _oddsmaker, Chris Raybon, and Matt F. The Oracle. Use the app to get real-time odds and track your bets for free. Be sure to check out our rankings at the Action Network. Please subscribe to and rate, interview the show, and listen and download on Spotify. See you again next episode.
We're finished talking.